Okay, good morning, everyone. So let us continue, Emir Tzashem, in our journey through Perek Shira. So we find ourselves this week, we'll spend Emir Tzashem today and Wednesday focusing a little bit on Laila, on the night. So let's take a look again. Remember, as we've spoken about before in Perek Shira, the entire essence of Perek Shira is the ability to go ahead and really teach us incredible lessons, profound lessons, through the natural world, recognizing that just by observing the natural world, one has the ability to learn a number of different things. To learn about the Ribbono Shel Olam, to learn about the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but also, as we've seen, in Eretz Hashem, to learn a little bit about the greatness of ourselves as well. So with that, let's begin. So Laila Omer, the night says. So the truth is, in Perek Shira, interestingly enough, Yom comes before Laila. Day comes before night, which again, you know, is an interesting idea, because of course in Ma'aseh Bereishis, right, in the story of creation, so Laila comes before day. But interestingly enough, well, again, I'm doing Laila first, you'll see why, because in Meretz we'll go from Laila into Yom, but you see why thematically it makes a little bit more sense for our purposes to do Laila first. So what does Laila say? Lahagid baboker chastecha ve'munas chabalelo. So Laila quotes the pasuk, so to speak, from Tehillim, Perek Tzadik Beis, pasuk Gimel, Lahagid baboker chastecha, to literally translate it, to speak of his kindness. I apologize, that should be a capital H. It's referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to speak of his kindness in the morning, ve'emunascha balelos, and his faithfulness by night. So before we even get into this pasuk, this is a well-known, familiar pasuk. Again, you'll notice from Tehillim Tzadik Beis, we say it again as part of Kabbalah Shabbos, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. We also go ahead and say it as part of Davening on Shabbos morning as well. So let's focus for a few moments about this pasuk. If I were to ask you, what does this pasuk represent to you? Clearly, the pasuk is speaking about two different things. Lahagid baboker chasdecha v'munos chabalelos. What's the contrast that David HaMelech is trying to create? What's the contrast? What would you say? How would you understand lahagid? Let's start first. Lahagid baboker chasdecha. What does that mean? To praise Hashem. But what does that have to do with the morning? Good. So on a most basic level, it appears that David HaMelech is creating the classic night-day contrast, which is the contrast between good and difficulty, or Baruch Hashem, wonderful times and challenging times. So lahagid baboker chasdecha, boker, and remember again, boker is not just day, right? Boker is morning. What happens in the morning? Sun comes up, right? Not a trick question, right? Just the beginning of light. When you see that first ray of light, by definition, fills one with incredible optimism and hope. So the Hagid Baboker Chasdecha, the Boker represents the Midas HaChesed, represents, again, divine attribute of kindness, the Emunascha Balelos. Laila, conversely, sometimes is associated with din, with strict justice. So we'll discuss exactly what Emuna has to do with Laila, but of course our focus for Laila is going to be the second part, Ve'emunascha Balelos. The notion of Emuna, of belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam, ultimately again, kind of taking root at night. So let's back up here for just a moment. Let's speak for a moment about Emuna. What is Emuna? I know that's a very open-ended question, but what does emuna mean? Don't tell me belief, that I know. But what does emuna mean? Oh, you see, about emuna in the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does that mean to have emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
I use the word belief.
Yes, you can use it. Yes, you can use it as part of a definition.
Believing that there is a creator in the world.
Beautiful. On the most basic level, believing that there is a creator, as opposed to what? Correct. So as opposed to Mikra, right? This is the fundamental machlokes in Amalek and Klal Yisrael, Shekarcha Baderech. You could look at the universe, you could see two things. You could look at the universe, you could say, wow, it is incredible how just a series of events happened to coincide, and a series of coincidences occurred, which created these results. Or the belief in a Borei, Emuna, means that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam who runs the world. Good. What else does Emuna mean? Mamish. Yes.
Everything Hashem does is for our best.
Good. the idea of once I believe. So remember again, this is a progression, and you're stating it in the perfect progression. Step number one is a belief in the Ribono Shel Olam, who runs the world. Step number two is a belief that everything that that creator does somehow is for my good. Now, remember again, that's not to be confused, or it's not to be understood as everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is pleasant, or everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does feels good. Because remember again, we know very well that that's often not the case. There are plenty of things that happen in life that are very difficult, that are very challenging, that are incredibly overwhelming. But somehow the belief in the Ribono Shel Olam, the belief in the Ribono Shel Olam says that everything that happens somehow is for the good. Now remember again, what does it mean when we say for the good? For the good of who? So for the good of us? Okay, what else could it mean? Remember, one of the most important things for us to each to remember is we are cogs in the wheel. We are each part of something greater. And sometimes what that means is our lives serve some type of greater purpose. I'm not here just for me. Somehow my life and what I do with it has some type of greater impact as well. When we say that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the good, so that good could sometimes mean a personal good, and that good could also mean a more universal or national good, that the Ribono Shel Olam runs an entire world, and that sometimes the suffering of some, the trials and tribulations of some, are there to create some type of net benefit. There could be a benefit to me, there could be a benefit to the klal, there could be a benefit to the world. It's difficult. This is perhaps one of the most challenging aspects of Emunah. I believe that me'ito lo teitzei hara, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is letova. Do you always see the tova in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does? No. Right? Very often a person could go through an entire lifetime and they never see. I believe it. I believe that it's for good, but it's possible that I'll never actually see or understand that good. By the way, that's part of the beauty of belief. The beauty of belief is you could believe in something even if you can't intellectually understand or process it. So I believe that everything that happens to me somehow is for the good, but I also accept the fact that sometimes in life I will never see or I'll never understand what good is actually coming out of the good. What else? What else does Emunah mean? So we've got a HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Everything ultimately, again, is letova in some way, shape, or form. What else?
I have a question.
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. Meaning everything that happens to me is always for the benefit of my neshama. And in some way, when it's good for me, or even when I would say something happens to me for the benefit of the klal, the benefit of the world, that's good for me also. Because I am the kli, I'm the utensil through which something positive is occurring for great, we'll call it greater society, or greater klal yisrael. But sometimes I don't know what that good is. Sometimes I don't feel that good. And sometimes I'll never know that until after 120 when HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains it to me. But yes, because if I'm the enabler for some type of national or, we'll call it, I don't want to use the word, I'll use it, cosmic good, then at the end of the day, that is good for me as well. Absolutely. Good. What else does Emunah mean? What else? Any other thoughts? Emunah also means the phrase. Rabbi Nachman has a beautiful phrase. The phrase is Kacha Hashem Rotza. That whatever happens in this world is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That there is no such thing as something that happens outside of the will of the Ribono Shel Olam. Kacha Hashem Rotza. So Rabbi Nachman writes about this extensively. I don't know, have you ever learned the Sefer Gan HaEmunah, Garden of Emunah? Have you ever, Shlomo HaRoshi quotes this concept a lot. So again, the Hebrew version is much better than the English version, but he uses this phrase, according to Rabbi Nachman, over and over, Kacha Hashem Rotza, Kacha Hashem Rotza. This is what Hashem wants. So what does that mean, Kacha Hashem Rotza? So on the most basic level, there is nothing that happens to me in this world that the Ribono Shel Olam does not want to happen to me. Now, there's an incredible profundity to this concept, because what does it apply to? Kach Hashem Rotze? everything, which means something really amazing. Let's say someone hurts you. So how do you hashkafically view that event? Right? It's from Hashem. Now, we have to be very careful with this. Does that absolve the individual of responsibility? No. So remember again, each and every one of us has personal responsibility for what we did. But this is an incredible yisod, because sometimes when someone hurts me, so very often the reaction is, and understandably so, one of anger, one of resentment, depending on how badly the person hurt me, which of course is understandable. But on a hashkafic level, Rabbi Nachman says the way to process it is, the Ribono Shel Olam wanted this event to occur to me. He wanted me to have this experience. Why? Okay, that's my tachlis, to understand why I was supposed to undergo this particular event. But there is no such thing as something that happens to me outside of the Ratzon Habore. Kacha Hashem Rotze. This is what the... So again, if you hurt me, you bear personal responsibility for what you did. Right? You bear personal responsibility. But at the end of the day, the way I process it is, the Ribono Shel Olam wanted this to happen to me, and now I have to figure out why. By the way, when you view the world through this lens, what does it do? So first of all, it brings simcha. Why does it bring simcha? Right, so it's an incredible thing. Now again, I don't know. I know some people who could do this. I myself have not been able to master this idea. But can you imagine when someone hurts you or someone upsets you, that instead of directing your emotional energy towards that person, being angry, upset, resentful, I say, you know what? That person is going to have to do their tshuva, right? They're going to have to fix their flawed Beit Adam L'Chavero. But at the end of the day, Kach Hashem Rotze, it's not really Reuven who hurt me. It's not Ploni who hurt me. It's the Ribono Shel Olam who wanted me to undergo these circumstances. So it totally reframes everything that happens to you in life. Because it's interesting, you know, we have so many, well, a couple of mitzvos that point to this idea, right? That we're not allowed to walk around with animosity, right? Where do we see we're not allowed to walk around with animosity? Right? So first of all, losikim lositar, but more importantly, losisna esachicha bilbavecha. You're not allowed to hell, you can't hate people. What do you think? I can't hate someone. If somebody hurt me and they're totally unrepentant, they don't care. They don't care. They don't acknowledge. I know they know. They know they know, but they don't acknowledge. I'm not allowed to harbor animosity. How are you supposed to do that? How are you actually supposed to kind of overcome the desire or the almost like innate reflex to harbor animosity against someone who has hurt you? So again, Rabbi Nachman, well, there's two answers. The first answer is, how do you overcome the desire to harbor animosity towards someone who has hurt you? So first of all, again, number one, Kach Hashem Rotze. If you hashkafically reframe it and you say, okay, I'm not absolving Ploni of what he did to me, but at the end of the day, the Ribono Shel Olam, Ploni could not have done this without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ribono Shel Olam obviously wanted me to undergo these circumstances. Ploni was the kli, he was the vehicle. He's still responsible for his actions. I have to reframe it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to have these circumstances. Good. How else do you overcome it? And what do you mean? Right, so beautiful. This is also incredibly important, Yisod, that when people act badly, that's a pigam in them, right? Normal, healthy, adjusted, happy people don't need to hurt other people because they're happy with themselves. When people put down others or people harm others, it's usually reflective of a very poor self-esteem and self-worth. So excellent, good. But even that's a maila. Good. How else do you deal with harboring animosity? Oh, you know, Rabbi Twersky, Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky, Zichat Tzadik Livracha, has a great line. And he said that, he's talking about bearing grudges. He says, bearing a grudge is allowing someone to live in your head rent-free. It's his line. He says, like, you know, it's one thing if you could collect rent, right? One thing if you could get something by harboring animosity or a grudge. But literally, when you walk around with a grudge, you walk around with anger, animosity towards someone, they're occupying emotional real estate. They're tying up emotional real estate, and I get nothing for it. So at the end of the day, when the Torah says, Losisna sachicha bilbavecha, even if the other person doesn't deserve my forgiveness, When I forgive and I find a way to let go, not forget. Does the Torah ever tell us to forget? No. Why doesn't the Torah tell us to forget? Number one, because you can't. Number one, because most of us can't forget. I could forgive, but if you ask me who has hurt me throughout my life, I could pretty quickly recall that list. I could work on forgiving, but forgetting is not. Also, remember again, why else don't you want to forget? It's very important you sow why you don't want to forget when you've been hurt by people. Because it sensitizes you. If you know what it's like to be on the receiving end of someone's negative treatment, if you know how it feels to be hurt, if you know how it feels to be mistreated, that informs and shapes the way you interact with other people. You don't want to forget that because that will shape you. So therefore, again, so kind of to circle back a little bit, so this is emunah. So emunah means, and by the way, emunah is a multifaceted concept. I often feel, I don't know about all of you, but I always find it interesting that, you know, we learn an incredible amount of Torah growing up, right? And we learn an incredible amount of halacha and Tanakh, and Gemara, Chumash, halacha, all different things. But it's interesting that I think when it comes to inyane emunah, we very often have a very unsophisticated understanding of what it means to really possess emunah. I think emunah is kind of like davening. Everyone assumes you just learn how to daven. But as we get older, we begin to realize, you know, I actually don't really know how to daven. I know how to say the words, I know how to say the words, but I don't necessarily know how to connect with this experience. Emunah is one of those things as well. I know that I have emunah. I know I have emunah. But what does it mean if I were to articulate the hashkafa of emunah? What is it? So we have three prongs, although we're going to build on it. Prong number one, the Ribbono Shel Olam is a prime creator. Right? The world is not by accident. The world is not happenstance. The world is not mikra. There is a creator. Number two, everything that Ribbono Shel Olam does is, quote unquote, litova. How that litova manifests itself and how it's perceived and how it's understood is an incredibly difficult and complicated parasha, which we'll discuss a little bit. And number three, emunah means kacha Hashem rotzeh. Nothing happens to me in life unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen. Now, let me ask you this. Is there an exception to that third prong that nothing happens to me unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it? Is there an exception to that rule? I'm sorry? So this is an interesting idea. Sometimes, if I do something to myself, no one else did it to me. So is that the Ratzon HaBore? So what would you say? Oh, so he gave me a choice. He gave me a choice. In other words, I have Bechira. I have Bechira. On the flip side, remember again, think about this. Anything you do, you can only do because of the kohos you have. The kohos you have are given to you by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's interesting. Number one, what about things I do myself? Good. Oh, we're actually going to discuss that. When else could there be an exception to this?
Isn't there times when Hashem lives alone?
Oh, so there's the concept of Hester Panim, which is a theologically fascinating concept of what it means is the Ribbono Shel Olam literally removing himself or shielding his face. So remember again, we the Torah speaks about this in the Tochacha. Right, the kind of the zenith of the Tochacha, the most profound and troubling part of the Tochacha is Va'anochi Hastir Astir Espanai. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, as part of the Tochacha, I will hide my face from you. The notion of Hester Panim, the Ribbono Shel Olam removing himself from the. So, what does that mean? Right. So again, I'm just pointing. This is not our topic for today. Although you will find, interestingly enough, a lot of the, I'll call it hashkafa, that surrounds the Holocaust is very often rooted in this concept of Hester Panim, of when the Ribbono Shel Olam somehow removes his hashkacha from the world, there are forces of evil that are kept in check when the Ribbono Shel Olam is present. But if the Ribbono Shel Olam for some reason chooses to remove that hashkacha, there's evil that is allowed to flow and allowed to impact in an unreserved fashion. So again, this is not our topic. I'm just pointing it out to you that it's interesting to see that this concept of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but again, amazingly enough, the Ribbono Shel Olam makes the choice. Right? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the choice for Hester upon him. But there is perhaps this exception, this Chas V'Shalom, this terrible time when the Moshe removes his Hashgacha, and that allows, again, many unchecked forces to then operate a bit more freely. But again, let's focus on the positive aspects of Emunah. So if we take a look at number two, as I mentioned before, so now we have Laila telling us that V'Emunas Chabalayis. What does Laila say? Laila contrasts itself with Yom. That as by Yom, Lahagi Baboker Chasdecha, V'Emunas Chabalayis. Number two, coming from Mizmor Shliyom HaShabbos. Take a look at number three, Rashi. So what we're going to try to analyze a little bit is why exactly this, but first we're going to analyze why this particular phrase is part of this capital, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, right? You've seen that capital before, and what's the most striking part of that capital, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos? What does it make no reference to? Shabbos. Right? It's very interesting. Remember again, if you're davening Shabbos night, you're davening Kabbalah Shabbos, generally, okay, so a woman will be Makabel Shabbos with Hadlakas Neros, but men are often Makabel Shabbos with this capital of Tillim, right after Lech Adodi. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos is generally when a man in Shul is Makabel Shabbos upon himself. It's fascinating that David HaMelech gives this introduction to this capital. You would think that the topic of the capital would be all about Shabbos. Yet amazingly enough, there's no reference to Shabbos in the capital outside of that opening phrase, which leads Rashi to say something amazing. Rashi says in number three, Mizmor Shir Shalavim. So first of all, again, in general, you know, remember, who wrote Tehillim? David HaMelech. Why did he write it? Why did he write Tehillim? I'm sorry?
For Klal Yisrael,
but specifically what? For what? David HaMelech wanted more than anything to do what? Build the Beis HaMikdash. And yet the Ribbono Shel Olam told him, you are not building the Beis HaMikdash, either because the Beis HaMikdash had to be built by an Ish Shalom, a man of peace, not by a man of war. And David HaMelech spent his life fighting battles. Or maybe perhaps it's tied in a little bit to the whole episode of Bathsheba. Whatever it is, David HaMelech was not going to build the Beis HaMikdash. So amazingly enough, David HaMelech, when after being told he can't build the Beis HaMikdash, did everything else in his power that he could do besides build it. So remember, what does David HaMelech do, number one? He purchases the real estate. Remember again, who did he purchase the real estate from? Aravna HaYevusi. Remember, it was a threshing floor. Harabais was a threshing floor. He purchases it from Aravna HaYevusi. And number two, what else does he do? He writes all of the music for the Levitic choir. That is Sefer Tehillim. Sefer Tehillim is the music for the Levitic choir. That's why, again, you'll find some Lam Natzeach. What does Lam Natzeach mean? How do you translate that? To the conductor. The conductor of what? Of what? It's to the conductor of the Levitic choir, right? The Levim had a choir. David HaMelech wrote the music to Sefer Tehillim, which, by the way, just as an aside, is such an incredible lesson. Because sometimes in life, there's something you really want to do, and then you're told you can't do it. So often in life, what happens then is that people fall into a pit of despair. They just give up. They just give up. I wanted to do X. I can't do X. And they wallow in despair. David HaMelech wants more than anything to go ahead and build the Beis HaMikdash. And when he's told that he can't, he doesn't wallow in despair. Instead, what does he do? He does everything else that is within his power. Because sometimes when life closes a door to you, the thing you have to do is you have to just look for another one to open. Sometimes people spend a whole life trying to just open the door that's locked. No matter how hard they push, it's not going to open, as opposed to utilizing their energies in more productive ways to open up other doors. So David HaMelech wants to open the door of building the Beis HaMikdash. He's told that he cannot. So again, I'll purchase the real estate. I'll go ahead and write the music. So that's why Rashi says, Mizmor Shir is the Shir HaLevim. Look what Rashi says, L'Yom HaShabbos, this is incredible. Sha'omrim Oso B'Shabbosos. So this was the Shira that the Levim used to sing in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Oh, so now the capital makes a little bit more sense. It's true. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, this is the capital sung by the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. But at the end of the day, does it speak about Shabbos? Not really. What does it actually speak about? The Yom Shekulo Shabbos, a reference to the world to come, to Olam Haba. Now, by the way, what does Olam Haba refer to? So remember, I just want to point out that olam, that term olam haba, is often used a bit interchangeably. Sometimes it refers to where you go after 120, right? As the Rambam says, Sadiqim Yoshim Bar Tarosem Bar Hashem Benenim Bizivashchina. Sometimes that's what it can mean. But olam haba could also be a reference to Messianic era, Yemos HaMashiach. So I'm just pointing out that whenever you see that term, it's used different. Sorry, so sometimes we use Yemos HaMashiach, sometimes we use Olam Haba. The Gemara, for example, uses the term Olam Haba to refer to both Olam Haba, where you go after you die, as well as the Messianic era. So in any event, whichever one Rashi is referring to, I don't know that it matters for our purposes. But ultimately, again, the Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, the Shabbos that David HaMelech is referring to in this capital, is not the seventh day of the week. I mean, it is a reference to the seventh day of the week, but it's really a reference ultimately again to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos Inyon Olam Haba. Olam Haba. Okay. So now we have a context. So now I know it's not so strange that the capital doesn't make reference to the seventh day of the week, because it's not talking about the seventh day of the week. It's talking about the Yom Shekulo Shabbos Olam Haba. So take a look now at number four. So what's the meaning of Lahagid Baboker Chazdecha? What does that refer to? So Rashi says in number four, Be'ez HaGu'ula. So this is incredible. According to Rashi, and again, the Mefarshim are going to be a little bit split on this, as we'll see in just a moment, but Rashi says, Lahagid baboker chazdecha is be'is ha'gulah. So first of all, you begin to see, how is Rashi using Olam Haba? Mashiach. This is incredibly important. So according to Rashi, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos is a reference to Messianic redemption. And what does it mean? Lahagid baboker chasdecha. The boker being referred to over here, says Rashi, first line number four, be'es hageula. Ribono shel olam, when will I speak about your chesed? When I am zocha to see the geula. When I am zocha to see Mashiach come. And there is that dawn, right? There is that rising, that boker of geula. Ve'munos chabaleilos, this is incredible. Second line number four. Ubaod Saras Hagados Lahamin Bacha Shatishmar Haftecha Secha Kol Zenovitov. So listen to this. So look how Rashi understands. Lahagi Baboker Chasdecha is reference to Messianic arrival. When Mashiach comes, Ribono Shel Olam, I will not be able to stop singing about your Geula. What is Amunos Chabalelos, my belief in you at night? Night, says Rashi, Baod Saras Hagados. If day, if morning, refers to the arrival of Mashiach, then night refers to the trials and tribulations of Galus, of diaspora. Lahamin b'cha. And at night, I'm going to believe, Shetishmar haftecha secha, that you will keep your promise. Which promise are we referring to? I'm sorry? Gula. So at night, so lahagid baboker chasdecha, in the morning, when Mashiach comes, I will sing of, or I'll speak of your chesed, the munas chabalelos, but I will keep my emuna with you, that you will keep your promise of geula, even at night, even in the midst of difficulties. Now, what's intriguing about this pasuk according to this explanation? Excellent. Shouldn't it be just the opposite? Because remember again, lahagid baboker chastechas Mashiach, the munas chabalelos is galos. So shouldn't it really be lahagid or lahagid emunas chabalelos, or however you would phrase it, but we'll call it emunas chabalelos, and then baboker chastecha. What's the answer? I'm sorry? It wouldn't fit in the song. Yes, good. Beautiful. Good. Any other thoughts? Good. Why is it in this order? Remember, I want to point something out. Tehillim is David HaMelech's also teaching us how to deal with life. Tehillim is the playbook for life. So what is David HaMelech teaching us?
It's like hoping for time of Mashiach, but until that comes, then it's like, this is ideal, but until then, we have to.
Okay, good. This is the ideal, good. But what, yeah? Start. I missed the first part. Start again.
Maybe it's greater than Amunah and Leilos, but it shows more they
believe
than when they have Amunah and
Leilos. Oh, so beautiful. So you're saying David HaMelech is kind of working from least to greatest, meaning Lahagid Baboker Chazdecha is easy. Is easy, right? Who's not going to see the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiach comes? But the real godless ha'adam as emunas chabalelos. Right? Beautiful. Beautiful. An incredible idea, right? It's always easy. Remember, this goes back, I think we mentioned this in a different class, right? This goes back to the idea that the Gemara says that when Mashiach comes, we're not going to accept gerim. We don't accept converts. Right? Why don't we accept converts in the Mosa Mashiach? Why? Because again, when Mashiach comes, we're going to be the winning team. So there's no great kunz in joining the winning team. You know, the whole yisod of accepting a ger is that a person is willing to undertake the trials and tribulations of Klal Yisrael as well. So beautiful. That's easy. But the pinnacle of accomplishment is Emunah Shavaleilos. Beautiful. Good. Any other thoughts? Yes. Oh, beautiful. So you want to say, meaning, Lahagid Baboker Chastecha could even refer to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, a Geula. Beautiful. Right? Maybe there's just a chronological explanation. This is the next stage. And then afterwards, ultimately, again, Vamanoscha. Beautiful. Beautiful. Good. Any other thoughts? Let me ask you this question. Anyone here ever encounter a difficult or trying time in life? No. Baruch Hashem. Good. Incredible. Right? For those of you who may have encountered a difficult or trying time, how do you get through it? How do you get through difficult times in life? You know that it's going to end. And you know that ultimately, again, some way, somehow, you're going to make it through. That's the only way to get through difficult times, is to say to myself, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know that I am going to get through this. So perhaps what David HaMelech is saying over here as well. How do you get through the Leilos? How do you get through the Leilos? The way you get through the Leilos is L'hagid baboker chasdecha, that I believe the sun's going to come up. Right? I believe that life is going to be good. I believe that things are going to be okay. I believe that there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to cross the finish line. I'm going to get through this challenging tekufa, and somehow, some way, I am going to remain standing. The way to get through difficulty in life is to reinforce in yourself the belief that some way, somehow, you are going to be okay. What David HaMelech says over here, Lahagid baboker chasdecha, is how you get through, or is the emunas chabalelos. Right? What? Think about this just a moment. What's emunas chabalelos? Emuna in what? Emuna in what? Our pashup shat. Lahagid baboker chasdecha, emunas chabalelos. Emuna in what? Hashem, true. What else? The simple title of the pasuk, I think, is emunas chabal. The emuna of night is lahagid baboker chasdecha. I have emuna that there's going to be a lahagid baboker chasdecha. That's what I have emuna in. I have emuna that this period, that this time of challenge, is not going to mark the rest of my life. That somehow, some way, I am going to find a way to navigate out of this. It may take a long time. It may take years. It may take who knows how long. But I believe at the end of the day, I will get out of this. Lahagid baboker chasdecha. You know, again, you're young, so one day, halavai, you shouldn't have any trials and tribulations in life. But we all do. And you will see that the only way to get through difficult challenges in life is to reinforce within yourself, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. How? When, what, where, right? You know, in general, the best way to go ahead and, I'll tell you something fascinating. I'm sure you learned this in driver's ed, right? If you go ahead, maybe you learn this in driver's ed, right? But when you get into, if a person gets into a car accident, when do they go ahead and sustain the greatest amount of injuries? I don't know if anyone here is studying PT or anything like that. When do you sustain the greatest amount of injuries? When your body tenses up. You sustain usually greater injuries when you know that you're going to get into a car accident, chas v'shalom, because a person's body tenses up. As opposed to something happens without a person's foreknowledge, generally the body is relaxed. It's such an incredible metaphor for life. When you're tensed up, that's generally when things feel that much worse. But when a person says, okay, it's difficult times, but I know somehow, some way that I am going to be okay, a person is able to go ahead and weather the storm better. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu compares, the Navi compares, Klal Yisrael, where is the Pasuk in Yeshaya? I can't remember the Pasuk, but Navi Yeshaya compares Klal Yisrael to a kana, to a reed, to a reed. Why to a reed? What does a reed do when the wind blows?
Flexible.
Right? It's flexible. It's flexible. So it bends. It bends. It bends. So what that means is when I encounter difficulty in life, I know it's going to be difficult. I know it's going to be overwhelming. But I know that when the wind dies down, I'll get back up. When the wind dies down, I'll be all right. La'hagid baboker chazdecha v'amunas chabalelos. The emuna that I need in order to properly guide my life is la'hagid baboker chazdecha. If I believe that I'm going to see the morning, if I believe that I'm going to be all right, if I believe that somehow I'm going to remain standing, that's the emuna that keeps you alive. That's the emuna that keeps you rooted by Lelos. By the way, where's the first time we see this metaphor? It's a Ramban. I'm sorry? So Vayer Vayvoker, good, right? That's very true. The idea being that sun always comes up, right? But where else do we see more in a more dramatic fashion? Yaakov Avinu. Remember the Ramban by Yaakov Avinu? Somebody must remember this Ramban by Yaakov Avinu. This is like Ramban 101. Right? The Ramban says, remember again, Yaakov Avinu spends the entire night fighting with the mysterious Ish. And what does the Pasuk say? The sun comes up, Hutzolea al Yerecho. He's limping. And what does the Ramban say? That it's a metaphor for Klal Yisrael. It's a metaphor. Maisa Ava Simon Labanim. It's a metaphor. And what's the metaphor? That many times Klal Yisrael will encounter adversity and we will be wounded and we will be hurt and we will be limping. But you know what the amazing part is? When the sun comes up the next morning, we'll still be standing. And it's not just a metaphor for the Klal. It's a metaphor for the Yachid as well. There are times in life where I spend the entire night struggling. There are times in life where I find myself in what feels like a perpetual, unending night. Adversity, difficulty, challenge. But Yaakov Avinu says, you may be limping. When the sun comes up, you may be limping, but you'll still be standing. La'hagid baboker chasdecha, that belief that I will sing, I will see the Ribon Shalom's chesed in the morning, that's the emunah that keeps me alive throughout the night. All right, we'll stop over here for today. Beretz Hashem, we're going to pick up with the rest of this kapitel in Beretz Hashem on Wednesday, and then we'll begin to plug it back into Perek Shira.